Back at halftime, it is time now for the highlighter. And this week we talked to Mia Brown, who is doing pretty much everything at Bishop Waterson High School. And we're honored to have her on here at halftime. And Mia, first of all, thanks for joining us here on the highlighter.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Let's talk about some of the things you do. First of all, a member of the swim team. I was a member of the float team because that's all I could do because swimming took a lot of energy. So on the swim team, what exactly do you do?
So I have been a part of the varsity swim team for the past 3 years, and hopefully I'll be on it again this year. And swimming is a winter sport, so I actually swim all year round with the club team, and I swim once a week with Bishop Waterson. Our coach is Dan Cherick. He's a great coach. And we have dual meets almost every weekend, which is a meet against another school, and then occasionally we'll have meets with a bunch of schools, which is like an invitational. So with high school swimming, you swim four events, typically two individuals and two relays, and at the end of the season, there's three different meets. There's sectionals, district, states, and each one qualifies you for the other. So at sectionals, you qualify for districts, and then districts, you qualify for states. And I've actually been lucky enough to qualify for states the past 3 years, and hopefully I'll qualify again this year.
And you are a sprinter, correct?
I am a sprinter. I do the 50 free, 100 free, and 100 fly.
And along with all that, when you dry off, you're a member of the student council, are you not? Talk about that experience.
Yes, I am a part of student council. I have been a part of it. Actually, this is my fourth year. I've been on it every year. I was freshman and sophomore class president, which I'm very proud of. And then junior year, I was a homeroom representative. And now this year, I am the communications director of the whole student council, but I'm also a part of the executive board.
Talking with Mia Brown here at halftime on the highlighter, and you're also a part of the worship band. Now, tell us what you do in the worship band and what's that all about as well.
So at Waterson, we have mass about every month, and the worship band leads the school in all of the songs of mass. So we'll have an opening song, obviously, and then the responsorial psalm, and then preparation, and then the songs during the consecration, and then a song during communion, after communion, and then a final song. And actually, my aunt is the lead singer of the band that sings, which is Worship 14. But she's a singer, she plays the guitar, and she also has another singer who plays the guitar, and then another one that plays the bass, and then there's a percussionist as well. And worship band basically leads the school in all the songs, and it actually encourages everyone to participate because usually people are sometimes scared to sing or don't want people to hear them, but worship band allows you to sing openly and proud to be a part of the mass, and it's actually a great opportunity to sing for the Lord. And I've always been told that singing is praying twice, so I love to sing, especially at church.
You're not trying to get double credit by singing, though, are you?
No. My aunt is the leader of this worship band, and also my mom sings with her, too, at Mass, and my brother was also a part of the worship band. So it's always been a part of my life, and I'm very thankful for it.
And what do you sing?
I am an alto, yes. I'm actually in choir here at, I'd say, concert choir, and I'm a part of the alto group in concert choir.
Talking with Mia Brown here at halftime, you're also a student ambassador here at Bishop Waterson. What does that entail?
So student ambassadors is somewhat of a new program here at Waterson, and you apply to actually be like a representation of Waterson. And what we do is we provide tours for families who are thinking about going to Waterson, and we also help the freshmen to feel welcome and help them with the transition here at Waterson, and also new students. We have like two or three new students here in my class, and I'm sure there are many more in the other classes, and student ambassadors help them to create relationships with students here, that and those relationships help them to answer any questions they have, any help with classes, or even like the events outside of school, like football games or basketball games. And it's just a friend, you know, a student ambassador is a friend that you can always reach out to.
Next to last question, do you have any free time at all then?
You know, I have not a lot of free time, but I try to make some time for myself because I certainly am very busy with swim and school. But I love my time here at Waterson, and I really enjoy the people here and the teachers here too.
Finally, if you had to pick a favorite singer, not your mother or your aunt, who would it be?
Honestly, I've always been a big fan of Taylor Swift. Ever since she went from country to pop, I've loved every single song.
Well, congratulations on a great career so far, and have a great senior season as well, too.
Thank you so much.
That being said, we'll take a break and remind you, this is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Bob Boyd Auto family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
It's time to experience the new look of Lincoln at Bob Boyd Lincoln of Columbus. Like the all-new 2020 Lincoln Aviator, the luxurious midsize SUV with seating for seven. Or the new Lincoln Navigator with spacious second and third row seating, 450 horsepower engine, and state-of-the-art technology. And at Bob Boyd Lincoln of Columbus, we believe there's no greater luxury than your time. That's why every new Lincoln comes with complimentary pickup and delivery for all service. Experience Lincoln for yourself. Bob Boyd Lincoln, I-270 and Sawmill Road, or at lincolnofcolumbus.com.
Beginning your college search? Continue your faith journey at Ohio Dominican University, Central Ohio's Catholic University. Do you have a passion for serving others? At Ohio Dominican, you'll have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others, like serving meals to neighbors down the street, tutoring children after school, or even helping to provide medical care and nourishment to villagers in Haiti. Whatever your passion is, you'll connect it with God's purpose for your life at Ohio Dominican University. Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
A priest friend of mine loves jeeping. It's the spiritual lessons more than the nature and the mud. He told me that when off-roading, you have to head straight for the obstacles. And he loves that. It's counterintuitive. But the only way you get past a big rock is to put your wheel right on it and to ride right over it. If you don't, you're going to bottom out. That's what the spiritual life is like, isn't it? When a problem comes our way, we often want to run around it. But we got to go straight for it to get past it. You got obstacles in a relationship? Go right at it. Talk about it. Obstacles in your spiritual life? Go to confession. Obstacles in your emotional life? Talk about them. Go to counseling if you have to. Running around things or away from things, it only makes you bottom out. And sometimes, when you're in a really rough trail, things break. Mistakes are made. But that's okay. It doesn't have to break you. Half the adventure is putting things back together again. It's all true when you're off-roading. It's all true of the spiritual life, too. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
It is all Hawks at the half of our CCL football game of the week. Hartley leading Waterston 26-0. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the studios here of AM 820 at halftime. Ryan Baker here, and I'm joined by the guru, Lee Cochran. And Lee, Hartley, just a physical domination of this one so far.
Well, yeah, I think it started out. What did Coach Wolf say? First play of the game, they had five linemen, five linebackers, and one safety. You know, I think you got the feel that Hartley was wanting to put some pressure on Jacob Hoying, and that's they seem to have done it. And at least it sounds like it, he just hasn't gotten comfortable. You know, the big plays have all gone Hartley's way, from the bobbled punt snap to, you know, and then they finally, you know, and Hartley gets the big play on 3rd and 17. I think it was a 43-yard pass. And then, you know, Waterston finally gets a break. They get the fumble as Hartley's driving, and what do? First play, turn it over. So, you know, it's you never say never, but, boy, you just don't think that this one's going to get close.
And Waterston, obviously a much improved team this year, but I don't know if this score is too far off from what I thought it was going to be, honestly. Maybe the 26-0 score is a little more, but this Hartley team is just so good.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Hartley's won the last seven in this series. It's hard to fathom that before that, Waterston had won, what, 29 out of 32?
29-3.
Yeah, and now, you know, but that's what Coach Birchfield's done. I mean, he's turned the power of the CCL to Hartley. I mean, they haven't lost a CCL game since, what, 2016 against DeSales, and that was the year they won the state title.
I think the number that I talked about with Miles Fleming this week, 2012, Hartley started playing Waterston again. The next year, they started playing St. Charles. The year after that, they started playing DeSales. They are 16-2 against those three teams since then.
Yeah, and you know, well, that's what I just said. You know, the balance of power in the CCL has changed drastically, and actually pretty quickly too. I mean, look at it that way. But what Coach Birchfield's got going there? But you know, there's just too much talent in. On Hartley's side, they're controlling, you know, both lines of scrimmage. Then you got Jalen January, and then you know where did the passing game come from? They've thrown for, you know, what, about 170 yards. Air Birchfield.
Yeah, I think that's been helped big time by the return of Angelo Evans here the past couple of weeks. That was, you know, this Angelo is a two-way starter.
For 3 years and a four-year Letterman. So that's a lot of experience they've added back to their lineup.
Yeah, and we know Coach Wolf enough to know that he's not really into hyperbole. But when he said that Angelo made the one catch, he said that's a catch you see on Sundays. You know, I'm listening to that on the radio, and I'm thinking that must be a dynamic catch because Coach Wolf doesn't say that a whole lot of times.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing here for Watterson is this game tonight could be a fight for their playoff lives. They may not get in at 7-3, unfortunately, so they really needed this one tonight. They just don't have enough firepower, it looks like.
Well, I look at it to a couple weeks ago. They really needed that win over DeSales and couldn't get that. You know, they've got Dayton, Dunbar, and St. Charles to close it, and, you know, they're sitting 11th in Division III, Region 11. So, yeah, you never know how it turns out. And because there's a lot of factors, you know, teams losing that you don't expect. But I would think that it's going to be such a long shot. Watterson loses tonight to get the playoffs.
You mentioned both of the other teams there in the All-CCL matchup. The other one going on tonight and at the half, DeSales lead St. Charles 14-0. The Stallions getting touchdowns from Reno Godfrey, touchdown pass to Quintel Quinn, and then an Owen Faulkner touchdown run. You'd kind of expect those to be flipped. Quinn with the touchdown run and Faulkner with the touchdown pass, but 14-0. St. Charles, they're much improved this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Unfortunately, they just don't have a lot of firepower on offense outside of Luke Eversoll.
No, and, you know, again, in Division II, Region 8, they're sitting 11th, so it's a long haul for them, too. Just listening to the games tonight and hearing the DeSales score just really has me fired up for Week 10. That's going to be a heck of a matchup on Thursday.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to, you know, both teams could possibly be 8-1 heading into that.
Oh, I would fully expect both teams to be 8-1 when they come into that. And, you know, us being in here on Fridays, we don't get to see. We get to hear a lot of football. We don't get to see much of it. And I know you're working on the preview show on Thursdays. So, but I'll be watching and I'll text you how it's going.
Well, we're going to see if we can work something out that week so we can get out there to that game for sure. You were just talking real quick to backtrack a little bit, Lee, about some of the numbers that Hartley is putting up in this game. We've got some of here. They're outgaining Watterson 327-81. Miles Fleming has thrown for 193 yards. So there's some of those numbers you were talking about.
But from listening to the game, I mean, that's exactly what it is. You know, I mean, Hartley's going to get the second half kickoff. You know, they score, you got a running clock, and that's when Coach Birchfield will probably start running in some of the JV, the backups. And, you know, because they just had Watterson uncomfortable on both sides of the ball. Watterson can't stop them defensively, and then they can't get anything going on offense, and absolutely nothing on offense.
Yeah, so there's where you get those numbers from. Whitehall has a 14-7 lead over Reedy at the half. Reedy scored on their very first drive of the game, drove it right down a Jack Foley touchdown. The Rams have come back and gotten the lead. This one, Lee, I'm surprised at the half is as close as it is, especially considering Darius Parham, the quarterback for Bishop Reedy, didn't start this one. Andy Schultz actually started under center for the Silver Knights.
Have we figured out why?
Now, I haven't heard exactly what's going on there. Don't know what the deal is with Parham, if he's dressed, if he's came into the game after not starting. We don't know exactly. We just know that Parham did not start and Andy Schultz did.
Yeah, and, you know, Reedy, you know, is playing that Mid-State League schedule. You know, they're not in the league, but they're playing the schedule. And, you know, it's a tough schedule. It really is. You know, you got a Division II team in Whitehall. You know, Reedy really, it's a tough haul for them. But, you know, I am surprised that the game is as close as it is.
And after the loss last week that you heard here on AM 820 to Harvest Prep, we kind of figured the door was slammed shut on Reedy's playoff hopes, but a win over a Division II school, they may possibly still be alive.
Yeah, and just like we talked about with Waterston and St. Charles, it's just so hard at this point. You know, there's websites out there that people, you know, go to take a look and see where, what the possibilities are. And I've already seen, you know, some of these teams control their own destiny on Joe Idol's website. You know, some teams eliminated, but it just makes, you know, weeks 8, 9, and 10 very exciting. Some of them, you know, like a Reedy, if they have any hope for the playoffs, I mean, their playoffs start tonight. It really
maybe
does.
Maybe a couple weeks ago, actually.
Yeah, but there's a lot of teams like that. I mean, you look at Upper Arlington. You know, their playoffs started last week against Davidson. They won. They're in the next round of the playoffs. Marysville. Yep. They're winning that game at the half. I mean, it's just the way some of these teams back themselves in the court. Heck, we look at a team like Pickerington North. They were 1-3. You and I sat here and said, you know, this is week 5, and their playoffs are effectively starting against Kauffman. Won that game. You know, then they beat Reynoldsburg. You know, both those teams had been undefeated. You know, and so a lot can happen. But, yeah, when you've only got 3 weeks left, you know, it is crystal clear for teams like Reedy that, you know, they've got to win out to make it.
Another one of the Catholic teams having issues at quarterback tonight. Newark Catholic, their starting quarterback, Matt Carlisle, sitting this one out tonight with a bum shoulder. He is dressed, however, and on the sidelines, probably if they needed him in a pinch. Cole Canner, who, if you'll remember, started a couple games as a freshman last year for Reedy, is the starting quarterback tonight for Newark Catholic. Unfortunately, they trail Licking Valley 21-7. This Licking Valley team's really good, though, at 7-0.
Oh, they're dynamic. And, you know, it doesn't get any easier next week for Newark Catholic. They've got Heath. Heath comes into tonight 6-1. And both those are Division IV teams. And, you know, obviously Newark Catholic's Division VII. But, you know, a little bit, you know, I just like to, you know, I think they'll get in the playoffs regardless what happens. You know, because they're going to close the season, you know, against Northridge. But I would see them getting into playoffs. And, you know, their schedule is always like this. And so they'll be battle-tested. I mean, they're going to be – they'll probably be a relief to play a Division VII school.
Well, I mean, just look at the last 3 weeks for them with Division II Licking Heights, Division II Watkins Memorial, and Division V Johnstown, who we know is always physical. They've survived that gauntlet going 3-0. Unfortunately, Licking Valley just a little too much for them so far this evening. And a big Division VII matchup going down in Lancaster at Fulton Field tonight. And it has been all Lucas. They lead Fisher Catholic 34-7. I knew this Lucas team was good, but this good, that's a pretty impressive score on the Irish.
Well, yeah, and it was pretty impressive last week what they did to St. Charles, beating St. Charles 20-8. You know, this, you know, I don't know really what to say about this team. I mean, they're playing anyone, everyone, but you know, Fisher Catholic, you know, they seem to bounce back from that loss to Worthington Christian, but then they were playing Fairfield Christian, yeah, who's winless. You know, so I was really kind of curious how they would come out tonight, being at home, and, you know, it just, you know, not looking good, obviously.
Unfortunately for them, kind of shooting themselves in their own foot. They mishandled a punt tonight here. They've also thrown an interception. Both of those led to scores for Lucas. So a 34-7 is the score at halftime. Fisher Catholic trailing. Week 8. Some great, huge matchups always on Week 8 the past couple years, it seems like. And maybe the biggest happened last night, Lee. And, wow, Olentangy Orange improved to 7-1. They beat Westerville Central 14-6. These Pioneers are definitely looking like they are for real.
Well, and they're one of those teams that you start talking about the best teams in Central Ohio. You say Pickerington Central, Olentangy Liberty, Dublin Kauffman. And you say about 5, 6, 7 more, and then you say, oh, wait, I think we forgot about Olentangy Orange.
We kind of did.
And, you know, we had Coach Schroeder on there, and he goes, please continue to, they don't talk about us. I don't want anybody talking about us. You know, it just always seems you get one of those teams that just kind of goes under the radar, and then just has a great season and gets in the playoffs. And they're in that role this year, and they're welcoming it and actually relishing in it.
Lee, only about a minute left here, so let's go ahead and talk about some of those teams that you said real quick were in the area's best teams. Dublin Kaufman just scored to start the second half. They lead Hilliard-Davidson 14-9 in the City League. I don't think there's any doubt the best team is Walnut Ridge. They're leading Marion Franklin 27-0 at the half. The Battle of Pickerington North has a 7-3 lead over Central. That one at the half. Pickerington Central gets a field goal late in that first half. And Olentangy Liberty, they have returned an interception for a touchdown. They have a 10-0 lead over Olentangy. And one I'm just keeping an eye on because of the terrible, tragic situation that happened this week with Gahanna losing one of their players in a car accident. Another former player they lost this week as well. They have a 20-18 lead over Lancaster, so we'll be watching that one as well. Don't forget, after the game tonight, Lee and I will be back. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. And you can check the scores throughout the night and after the games on our website, AM820Scoreboard.com. 26-0, Hartley leads Waterson at the half of our CCL football game of the week. Let's head back out to Ohio Dominican right now to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf for the second half.
Gentlemen, excellent.